We're talking to David Lynch about his book, A Divided Paradise, An Irishman in the Holy Land. You also spent some time in Israel talking to people. And I suppose what people don't realise is just how small a territory we're talking about, which always struck me as makes this particular dispute more acute somehow, because people can be yards away from each other and feel it more personally the way perhaps people mightn't in an ordinary war. We talked before about the range of opinion in Palestine. Did you encounter much of a range of opinion in Israel?
Well, Israel is obviously extremely varied society. Like, Jews from all around the world have come to Israel, and they have extremely different cultural backgrounds and linguistic backgrounds. So on the surface, there is a lot of variety. But in terms of political ideas, no, I thought it was quite homogenized society that way. Now, in my book, there's a lot of Israeli voices in it, and a lot of the Israeli voices are from the kind of peace movement, or from the left, and are those who want to compromise with the Palestinians. Now, in some ways, the proportion in the book is completely out of kilter with their voices in Israel. They are quite a small minority in Israel. But no, I think I personally believe Israel shifted to the right in the last 5 or 6 years, or the last 10 years. Benjamin Netanyahu is the prime minister there. And I think he kind of broadly reflects the consensus in Israel at the moment, which is, you see, life in Tel Aviv and in Haifa and the West Jerusalem at the moment is quite pleasant. Like, Tel Aviv is an extremely seductive city in many, many ways. So it's easy to go about your life without thinking about the misery, particularly in Tel Aviv, the misery that people in Gaza live 100 or 150 miles down the south coast from you. So there's no, like, the occupation and the conflict does have an impact on Israeli society, but it's not in your face. In your face. Like, you can live an ordinary life in Haifa and Tel Aviv and the other cities without having to confront what your government is doing in the territories.
But presumably people are aware of it. They're aware of it through the media all the time, and it's an issue that, you know, it's probably discussed in the media every day.
Yeah.
Why do you think there was that shift to the right?
The reason it's given normally is that the wave of suicide bombings that took place in 2000 and 2001, and that definitely did have an impact. But also the failure of the peace process, I think, for a lot of people, they felt like that was the best chance for peace. And when it failed, they kind of gave up hope on any sort of living alongside Palestinians. So I think it comes from a kind of depression about that. I think that's the reaction to it.
Well, that's an interesting parallel, because even though obviously the situation in Israel is much more pleasant than it is on the West Bank or in Gaza, but there's still a lack of hope there as well.
There is. Yes, that's true. But I think you can live with your hopelessness better in Tel Aviv than you can live with your hopelessness in Rafah. Like, you make the good point about it's such a small physical area and people live cheek by jowl, but people live very differently on different sides of the border. Like, life is complete misery in Gaza. And also you have to remember that Palestinians also live in their, like, I travelled to Lebanon and I travelled around some of the refugee camps in Lebanon, and these are Palestinians that fled their homes in 1948, and they're the descendants of those Palestinians, and they live in these camps dreaming of a country that they cannot return to, and their homes that they cannot return to. They're completely forgotten. Even in the discussions about the peace process, it's all about those who live in the occupied territories.
And nobody wants them, the poor old refugees.
Even the Lebanese government
don't want them. Yeah. Because I was in Israel this is going back to the 80s, but a captain in the IDF, in the Israeli Defence Forces, I was trying to get, what's your attitude to all this? And he was, like a lot of people in the IDF, very gung-ho, good-looking, well-built, blah, blah. And he said, well, my attitude is this, that, and we were standing on the border with Lebanon. And he says, my attitude is that, and they had just driven the PLO out of Lebanon. He says, my attitude is that there's people who were over there in Lebanon and there's still people surrounding us who not only want to destroy the state of Israel, they want to come into my home and kill my family. That really struck me as that, for some odd reason, well, I suppose maybe it's because it's so small, but that everybody takes this dispute far more personally. It's not just a dispute about land. Everybody thinks everyone's going to kill them personally. It's not just the forces of states against each other. Do you think that's a fair thing to say?
Well, it probably is, yes. But this constant thing about the Israelis do talk about, but it's their nation is geographically small, but it's also an extremely militarily powerful nation. Mm. In an open conflict with any of its neighbours, it would defeat them no problem.
And has done so several times
on a regular basis. So even though that is built into the kind of Israeli mindset, and I can understand that, and that does move people in Israel, and there is a security issue. I don't deny there is a security issue, but the security issue is there because of the iniquity towards the Palestinians. That's the main reason for it. But in the end, this idea that we're kind of this siege state, a Spartan democracy surrounded by all these nations that want to destroy it, I don't know. I don't think it holds up to much objective scrutiny. Mm. And even if an IDF captain believes that, I don't think that's good enough reason for the Palestinians having to suffer because of it.
Like, oh, I wasn't offering it as a justification, okay. It was just that mindset.
Yeah,
And it's probably a mindset that's in on both sides of that border now, that both sides think they want to destroy me and my entire family.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to make way forward from that, I would imagine. Though the weird thing is, I know, you know, the dogs in the street all over the West Bank and in Palestine and in Israel know that a two-state solution is the answer. Hmm. It seems really weird that they just can't do that. Relatively simple.
But I don't think there is enough international pressure put on the Israeli government to come to... Like, some people at the moment would look towards Obama to bring hope. And there's... Like, I think the jury's out on Obama when it comes to the Middle East. Obviously, he has a better understanding than the person who came before him because of his own background and his own sensibilities. But like I'm just back from a two-week holiday in the West Coast of America. I was at a wedding and I met quite a lot. I was in Portland and that place is just full of registered Democrats. I think even the Republicans there are registered Democrats. And they are 6 months into a love affair with their president. They love him because they've come out of an eight-year... abusive relationship with the previous one, and they're so there's a lot of adoration there, and that's a good thing, and I can understand why that's there, but I think there has to be pressure put on Obama as well, because I don't know whether he'll do these things, whether he's going to be more even-handed without some pressure put on him. Like, you can look at things that he's done in Pakistan and stuff that...
And the speech he gave in Egypt was...
Well, there was some positive things in that, definitely, and he has put more pressure on the Netanyahu government, but... We'll see. I think it's also up to civil rights organisations around the world to independently argue this point, argue in favour of Palestinian freedom as well, and put pressure on leaders like Obama.
Even if we reach the happy situation where a solution was found tomorrow, it would take decades for the Gaza and the West Bank to become properly functioning economies, to get those places back on their feet again. And from to reach a point where, for instance, all those people who are in camps in Lebanon could go home and find a job.
Well, that's probably true. But like the Palestinians are extremely educated people. The town I stayed in, Bir Zeit, like it's a university town, and most of the young people could speak numerous languages. They're also to have a like the equivalent of the Leaving Cert there. The results are printed in their national newspapers in Palestine, and in refugee camps in the West Bank, when kids got great results, there was kind of celebrations on the streets and stuff. Like education is really looked at as really important. So I think the resource, the people are there, and they can make it happen. And I think if there was some peaceful settlement, like internationally, that would be supported by nations and money would go in there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. David, thanks very much for coming in to talk to us. David Lynch's book is called A Divided Paradise, An Irish Man in the Holy Land. David, thanks a million.
Cheers, Sean.